Good morning, good morning, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Oh, man. As you can see here at Fireside, we are fully into the Christmas season. And first, can we get just a round of applause for some of the people that came in and decorated the beautiful sanctuary for us this week? So, all the beautiful decorations, I really am feeling like the giving spirit, right? So we've got all these beautiful Christmas trees, got some of the big ones on the side, the little ones in the back. We even have Duke Hall, the Christmas sound elf in the back. And I'm thinking about giving away one of the Christmas trees here in the church. Guys that decorated them, please just wait before you beat me up, okay? Okay, would anybody like one of these Christmas trees to go home with them? Would you like one? Come up here, I'm going to give you a Christmas tree to take home with you. Come up here. Don't boo me when this happens, okay? I'm just fair warning. Come on up. I got a nice little Christmas tree for you. What do you think?
Looks cool.
Does that look cool? Man, if we all had that sort of heart in us, that something like that would look cool with everything else around us. See, all the pretty things in life sometimes overshadow some of the most important. So going back, you can have that. Does that remind any, hold that up as you walk by. Does that remind y'all of any other Christmas tree that you've seen before? Is that reminds you of Charlie Brown Christmas tree?
Yes.
Oh, man. Has anybody ever watched Charlie? Raise your hand if you've ever watched Charlie Brown before. All right, so everybody's watched Charlie. Charlie Brown is put on a task, and he goes out trying to find the perfect Christmas tree, right? And he's walking through, and one of the funniest parts is he knocks on a couple of the trees, and they're like metal, right? And they're fake, and they don't really, they look pretty, and they look good, but there's really no substance to them. And he comes up, and he sees this little tree, right? And as we go through, I'm not going to mention any names, because I promised I wouldn't, but one of our fellow old brethren, elders, put on a post this week and said, did the tree grow limbs as Charlie Brown walked back home? Well, if you watch the original show, when Charlie Brown first finds the tree, it just has three little sprigs of greenery coming out of it. And as he picks up the tree and walks it home, it sprouts a few more limbs magically. And to think that there isn't any significance in that sprouting of some new limbs, we really need to dig in into what was being told there. And as he gets home and goes through all the heartaches of figuring out why, whenever I picked out this tree, why was it not good enough? Whenever he finally gets to the end, it becomes something beautiful, but it didn't start that way. It started out as something that most of us would have just thrown in the trash. I'm here to tell you, God seeks after those of us that lower ourselves to the point that we know we need him. He comes after the ones that look like that initial twig. And as we have this story in the Bible that we hear every year, I'm pretty sure that Elijah preached on it last year, but there are so many different things that you can get out of this story. If you guys want to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, we're going to talk about God going and finding the least of these, right? So here's what we've got. Let's read Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. It says, in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Let's pray. Lord God, I ask as we dig into your word, Lord, that you allow your spirit to speak through me. And Lord, and I ask that as the spirit speaks through me, that he comes into each and every one of us and opens our ears and our hearts and our minds to your message, Lord. And Lord, I ask that he helps move our hands as we go out of this building, that he helps move our feet and allows us to go out and proclaim the gospel to the world. Allow us to know the true meaning of this Christmas season. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So as we get into it, you know, we get into this material aspect and everything at Christmas time, we kind of lose the meaning just a little bit, right? Because we get so much into the bows. As a matter of fact, we're having a Grinchmas party Wednesday night, and I remember as a kid, one of my favorite parts was seeing the Grinch all upset because he would say, "I got to hear all the noise and see all the toys and the ribbons and bows," and he had lost the meaning of Christmas, right? But I loved as a kid seeing him be so upset because I didn't understand what he was upset for. I just saw him being tormented by these little kids. He needed something more. He needed something that wasn't so shallow. In this Christmas season, we need something more than the decorations. We need something more than having the biggest tree or the most presents or whatever it is that we think Christmas is all about. We need purpose. We need to realize the love of Christ, how much God loved us in sending his son to us. See, and I imagine many of us are kind of like these shepherds that are sitting in the field. It's just another normal night sitting out there. You're considered some of the lowest of the low. We've talked about that so many times, that these shepherds were thought of as unclean because they had to most of the time work on the Sabbath. They were not able to be a part of normal society, but they were doing something so important. They were shepherding the sheep that more than likely were going to go in and be sacrificed. Something very important, a very important job that they had. We know this because this area that it talks about just outside of Bethlehem was documented in history as being the area that the sacrificial lambs were taken and were brought together and where they would eat and where they would go with this. So these shepherds were not just your ordinary shepherds. They were the ones that were taking care of everybody else, yet everybody else was turning their nose up to them. And this time, I'm sure as time went on and you saw that you were taking care of everybody else's problems, right? And as you were going in and you were doing these things to love on these people, all they did was look more and more down on you. So I could imagine that you become cold and hard. And when you become cold and hard and rough, that all of a sudden everybody treats you even worse. So these people were in the lowest part of society, sitting out in a field in the middle of the night, knowing that they were the lowest of the low. And yet, here they come, a multitude of angels announcing the birth of the Savior, says that an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were terrified. Terrified. As a matter of fact, last year, I believe Elijah used a pretty good representation. He said that he had heard somebody one time said, when angels show up, you more than likely what? He said, you poop your pants. They're that scary. They're terrifying. And yet they show up in the middle of the field with all of these shepherds sitting out there, and there are so many angels coming out, and they're there in a terrifying situation. Let me tell you, when angels show up and you don't know Jesus, it'd be a pretty terrifying situation. However, when they come proclaiming the gospel, when they come proclaiming Jesus to you, you've got a choice to make. Are you going to sit in the field, or are you going to seek the Savior? It's one of the two. Sit in your sin, sit in the place that the holiday has you depressed and tore apart, or are you going to seek the Savior? But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." See, the news wasn't, hey, we're going to put you in a better position. We've got a better job for you. We've got a place in society. We're going to make you a Pharisee. We're going to give you all these things that you want. Because so often when we get into a relationship with Jesus, we think if he'll just fix my personal situation, then everything was good. Everything will be good. Let me tell you, God did not send Jesus here to give you a new car. God did not send Jesus here to place you higher up on the totem pole at work. He didn't send you here to give you the dream job. He was sent here to save you from your sin. Sent here to save us from our sin. See, these shepherds, the only thing they really had left were the sheep, and they hung so tightly to the sheep, yet the sheep represented everything that brought them down to that point. Even though they were working hard, and more than likely, I believe these were faithful men that believed, they had so much reliance on the sheep. As a matter of fact, we go back to that Peanuts cartoon, the Charlie Brown Christmas, and I got a little clip, and everybody has seen this, but watch each and every part of this clip as we go through.
"I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about."
"Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?"
"Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please." "And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
So watch that clip. We always know, because we talk about it so often, that Linus drops his blanket. But if you watch really closely, Charlie Brown's holding on to his too. I've got here in my hand, we brought this home from the hospital with our little kiddos when they were first born. We've got three of them sitting there. To this day, Nicole could probably tell you which one's which. I can't tell you, but I know that whenever I look upon these blankets that my kids were wrapped up so tightly and meant so much being a dad, and the blessings that were given to me through being able to raise kids in Christ is just unbelievable. But sometimes these things mean so much to us. Sometimes these holiday traditions mean so much to us that we carry them around. We see Linus in every single cartoon we have. He always has his blanket. And if you notice, he continues to hold his blanket even through hearing about the shepherds. But the minute that he hears about the Savior, he lays it down. He lays it down and shares what this season is all about, what Christmas is all about. See, at the time that these angels were coming, these shepherds were holding so tightly onto the things of this world, and yet whenever they hear about the Savior being born, they leave. They leave the things. Now, there may have been some that didn't go, because not everybody who hears God's word goes, but the ones that knew that the Savior was born for them that morning, and they knew where to go look for him, they continued on with the praises and started going and seeking after Jesus. If you have ever been in a situation or been told about the Savior, or been told if there's something on your heart about somebody that sent him, about God sending his son for you so many years ago, if you have ever been proclaimed the good news, the question is, are you going to lay down your blanket? Are you going to lay down your sheep? And are you going to seek after the Savior? And the path is not a path that we just go aimlessly on. These angels tell him exactly what to do. They say, go into the town. It says, today in the city of David was born to you who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth, lying in a manger. See, these shepherds knew what this cloth meant. They knew what the manger meant. They had worked with these things their entire life. See, what they would do is they would take these cloths and they would take the blameless, spotless lambs, and they would wrap them tightly up so that they couldn't go out and get injured. They couldn't go out and get hurt. They couldn't get out and get cut and make them have blame in them. So they knew what they were looking for. They were looking for the perfect lamb. So much visual in this. They knew where to go. They were looking for the Messiah presented in the same way that the things that they were taking care of out in the field, the sacrifices, they were looking for the perfect sacrifice. They weren't looking for a new staff. They weren't looking for some new sandals. They weren't looking for new outfits. They weren't looking for new toys. They were looking for a Savior. What's a season all about? We seeking after the Savior. It says, suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with an angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. So the angels were singing glory to God in the highest heaven, in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to the people he favors. See, if you truly want to know what peace is on this earth, if you truly want to know how to get past all the issues in life, to quit looking at God like a vending machine, if you truly want to know how to get into a better position, be in that place of knowledge. Be one of those in favor of God. Be a believer in the Messiah. The angels knew they could proclaim glory, but it's specific here in peace. If you want peace in your life, if you want peace on this earth, you need to be to the people he favors, to the ones that know him. Everything else leads to death. Christ leads to life. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, they're at a turning point, right? Many of us may be at that turning point in life. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard the gospel proclaim that there is a one and only God that sent his son to die for you on the cross. And he came as a baby swaddled up, lying in a manger, and he left a king with an empty tomb. He died for us. He took the fullness of sin on that cross for us. And he showed us who he was to that empty tomb. If that is the first time that you've heard that, now you're at this point, at the same point that the shepherds are. Or maybe you've heard it for years and years and you've just continued to sit in your field. The question is, are you going to do what they did? They said, when the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Let's go seek out this Christ child. Let's go seek out Jesus. Let's go right now. We heard about it. They told about it. It has been laid upon our lives. Let's go look for him. And it says, they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph. As you watch that Charlie Brown Christmas, that question of the tree that had its first three little twigs on there, right, when it was first found, if you watch as Charlie Brown carries it home after it was chosen and it walks home, as it goes home with Charlie Brown, all of a sudden it has five twigs. And then as he goes on just a little bit farther and he carries it around through the whole show, he lays it up on the piano. And if you count it on that piano, it now had six twigs. Why? Because it had been on that journey. It was going to where its purpose was. It was seeking out something. Are you growing in Christ? Are you seeking out the Savior? As we do, we have more value. We become a little bit more and a little bit more as we grow closer. The question is, now we get into that point where, are we going to accept Jesus as our Savior and live for him? Or are we going to just end with some praises and some good songs and a holiday season and say, "Hey, that was awesome. Let's go back to our sheep and let them be the rulers of our life. Let's go back to our boyfriends. Let's go back to our jobs. Let's go back to our addictions. Let's go back to our kids can be gods to us if we let them be. Let's go back to whatever else is holding them down. I'm glad we had the Christmas season. I'm glad the tree's there. Put them back in the attic and let's go." Or we're going to do something a little different. It says, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what shepherds said to them. Let me ask you this. Anybody here ever seen a miracle? Raise your hand if you've ever been a part or seen a miracle in your life. Things that you can't explain, it just happened. Were you amazed? Was it life-altering? Or was it just something cool? It said, they were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. They couldn't believe everything that was going on. They couldn't believe that these angels were in the field. That was such an awesome experience. It says in verse 19, that one word, it says, but Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. It wasn't just a proclamation and let's go back to the house. Mary took the word. She took everything that was said. She knew, and she saw the angels come. She saw that God was working through her. She knew this child was the Messiah. She knew Jesus was the Savior of the world. She was taking in everything, and it wasn't just a, "Man, that was an awesome party. Man, that was a good service. Let's go on to the house and keep living." It wasn't that. It was so much more than that. It says that she took him in. She treasured up everything that she heard. She meditated on them. She thought of them. She studied them. It was a part of her life. It wasn't just a moment. It was a new life. She knew that Jesus was more than just an awesome experience. My question is, do we take the knowledge of Christ and do we treasure it? Do we meditate on it? Does it affect who we are? Does it change us in every possible way? Are we reborn through Christ when we hear the news? See, the difference is in, and I'm not saying that none of these shepherds were saved. I'm not saying that all of them were saved, because we don't know. But all I do know is that Mary definitely knew and had a relationship with her Savior. See, some of the shepherds could have been there for the fun experience, and I've been there before. I told you guys I went to, I've shared this a few times, but I went to a conference one time, and man, the music was awesome, and the spirit was there, and there was just so many things going on, and everybody gets up and goes to the front, and man, it sounded like a good idea to get saved because it was in the moment. And as everybody goes up and bows down and does all their things, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to do those sort of things. And it sounded great, and everybody told me I was saved. See, I thought that I had walked the same walk as the shepherds. I thought that I had been through the same process as Mary, but yet I go up there and I was told something false. See, it isn't enough to just walk there. The question is, are we treasuring up the gospel in our lives? Are we being made new? Is Christmas something more than just a fun holiday? Is it something more than just going to some events or having some parties or the eggnog or the gift? Or the Christmas trees? Is it something more? Do we present ourselves as a humble twig that nobody else would see as a tree and allow Christ to come in, to work in us, to grow us, to allow us the opportunity to become something new and great for Him, to be used for Him? So if you want to know this Christmas season what Christmas is all about, look no farther than the cross. We celebrate the birth of the Savior of the world that laid His life up freely for us on the cross. That's the true meaning of Christmas. Are you willing to lay down everything you have and become something new for Christ? Doesn't mean that every little situation, every little thing in your life is going to be perfect. Charlie Brown doesn't walk out of there with his perfect Christmas tree and just live the perfect life. There are too many other stories that come up. He fails, we're going to fail again. There are times where he struggles, we're going to struggle again. The question is, are we made new in Christ? If we are, then we know what eternal life is. If not, just be thrown out with the Christmas tree on January 1st. Question is, do we have Christ in our life? Do we have eternal security or not? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank You for this day. Lord, I thank You for Your word. I ask that as we go through this season that we see every decoration, Lord, that we see the value in everything that we do, that it not be about looking good or sounding good, but Lord, about presenting You in the best possible way that we can present You, Lord, that it be about us loving You and in turn, Lord, us knowing our unbelievable need for You, because without You, Lord, that there is no way to have eternal life, that through Jesus is the only way to enter the kingdom, Lord. Allow us to come to You as a humble twig. Allow us to even if the world sees no value in us, Lord, for You to give us that value, Lord, that we come out and we can present You, that we can present Your love to the world through the gospel, Lord. I ask that we be like Mary, that we treasure up everything that we see, everything that we do. I ask that we don't allow it just to be a situation where we raise our hands and stomp our feet and go out and live a totally different life, Lord. I ask that everything that we say and do just changes our lives forever and turns us towards the cross. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Guys, as we go through this last song, I don't usually do this sort of thing, but and Kelsey and Daniel may be mad at me for doing this, but I they need some prayer right now. You know that Daniel's been struggling with the strokes, and he has been doing fantastic, unbelievable. Every time that I call him, he says, my hands are working better, my legs are working better, hopefully I can get to work. Well, I got a message last night, and They were told that they were going to probably have to be out of their house by February or March, not because of money or anything, but because their landlord's wanting to sell the house. And can we pray for them? And if there's anybody here that knows of a way that God is working through you to be able to find a way to give them some love, to find some housing, we know He is a miracle worker. And they've reached out and asked for prayer. And I believe there is no better prayer than us coming in fully open-hearted as a family. So let's pray for them right now. If they're going to be right back there. Daniel, I'm not going to ask you to come up front, but if you guys could, let's extend a hand out and let's pray for them. And you guys, don't allow these prayers just to go out lofty into the atmosphere. Go out and actually, if there is something that you can do physically to help, that if there's something God can do to work through you, please, we could use some help. Let's pray. Lord God, I come to you today and I ask for miracles to happen, Lord. I ask that you that you give them exactly what they need, that your will be done in their lives, Lord, that if whatever situation occurs, Lord, that they see you in it and they grow closer to you in it, Lord, and that they can proclaim you to the world through whatever it is, Lord, that no matter if it is exactly what their hearts desire or, Lord, if it's exactly the opposite, as long as it's what your desire is for their lives, Lord, that they can see it and they can find joy and they can find peace in it. Lord, grow them closer to you and allow us to not just be the ones that go out and proclaim the word, but that we also, through the proclamation, we go out and we be the hands and feet that go out and share the gospel, that share the love in every possible way. Thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.